Kings don't mean a thing on the street of dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the street of dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold is in the moonbeams. No woman is poor, long as love is sure, on the street of dreams.
Commissioner Furia?
Present.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Present.
Commissioner Ruffelgold-Purrington will be absent. Commissioner Walton?
Present.
Commissioner Dent?
Present.
Commissioner Dent?
Present. Can you hear me? Okay.
Vice Chair Williams?
Present.
And Chair West will be absent.
Thank you very much. And I'm very pleased to introduce to fellow commissioners, staff, and the public our newest commissioner, Commissioner Furia. Commissioner, if you would please share a few facts about yourself.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be starting on the commission today. I am a two-time Goleta resident. I was here for 6 years previously, and I'm just hitting my sixth year for the second time around, so it's almost 12 years total. I got here just after Goleta became a city, and I'm really excited to be a part of all the good works that the city is doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Furia. We're so pleased to have you on board. All right, we will begin tonight with the public forum. At this time, the public will have the opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Commenters will have 3 minutes to testify. Ms. Ramirez, do we have anyone in line to speak at this time?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no members.
Thank you very much. I would like to note for the record that the commission received a written comment from Herschel McCallion regarding Andamar Park. This comment was provided to the commission, is available online, and will be included in today's minutes. At this public comment is unrelated to items on the posted agenda. The commission cannot take action or have any discussion on this item in accordance with the provisions of the Ralph M. Brown Act. Thank you so much. Commissioners, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. This is the part where we are looking at and potentially just agreeing to approve the following items, which will be detailed by Ms. Ramirez.
A1, approval of the June 1st, 2022 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes. A2, Parks and Recreation Manager Project and Program Updates. A3, Parks and Open Space Division Report. And A4, Director's Report.
Thank you so much. Would any commissioner like to pull any of these consent calendar action items for further discussion?
Vice Chair Williams, I believe Commissioner Dent has her hand.
Yes, Commissioner Dent.
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. I wanted to ask Mr. Thompson about agenda item A3. I wanted to clarify, it mentioned that in new contracts, there's a requirement that the consumable materials in Goleta Parks, like toilet paper and jockey bags, will be made out of recycled content paper and compostable. And I was wondering if those things are already in place in our parks, or if that's a change that's being made with this new contract.
Vice Chair Williams, Commissioner Dent, and Park and Rec Commissioners. Currently, we don't have a requirement written in the work specification that vendors provide recycled content materials. That said, we do require, we actually provide them ourselves through our own staff, biodegradable doggy bags to the tune of over 300,000 bags a year. That was a change that we made about 14 months ago. And then going forward, we'll continue doing that, but we'll also have a minimum 30% post-consumer recycled requirement for all of our paper products. So that's toilet paper, paper towels, and so forth.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Do you have any further questions, Commissioner Dent?
One more is just, I noticed that, well, we also discussed last week that efforts would be taken, or last meeting, that efforts would be taken to reduce the impacts of gophers to recreational turf. And I was wondering how contractors will go about that.
So for gophers, which impact our recreational turf by burrowing and causing voids and basically damaging the turf and providing safety issues, we require that the contractor is going to have to do live trapping. So essentially, that's a very labor-intensive process where they work in a park in the morning, they set traps early in the morning, and then check them throughout the morning while they're at that park. Currently, we don't have the contractors doing that because it is such a labor-intensive process over our 18-plus recreational areas throughout the city. So that will be a requirement. Unlike Lake Los Carneros Dam, where we use carbon monoxide to reduce the impact of burrowing ground squirrels, we can't use that technique in our recreational fields because they're too close to residences.
Thank you. Any further questions? Commissioner Dent, any other commissioners? Very good. Ms. Ramirez? Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak about the consent calendar?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on an item on the consent calendar, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no hands raised.
Thank you so much. So I would call for a motion from a commissioner to approve the consent calendar. Yes, Commissioner Walton makes the motion. Do I see a second? Yes, Commissioner Jenkins. It has been moved and seconded to accept the consent calendar. Ms. Ramirez, if you would take a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Furia?
Aye.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Approve.
Commissioner Walton?
Approve.
Commissioner Dent?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Williams?
Approve.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. All right, we're ready to move on to the presentation portion of the agenda. And we have a presentation by Mrs. Plummer and Mr. Thompson regarding the Parks and Recreation and Open Space Adopted Work Plans 2022 to 2023. We'd be delighted to hear your presentation at this time, Mrs. Plummer and Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams, members of the Commission. Tonight, I'm excited to share with you some information about the approved work plans for the Neighborhood Services Department for Parks and Recreation and the Public Works Department for Parks and Open Spaces. As you may recall, this last few months, we've been working on our work plans and our budget as it relates to the current fiscal year. And in May of this year, our departments both went before City Council and proposed our work plans, and they have been approved. So we wanted to share with you tonight what is approved, what is on our work plans for the next fiscal year, for the current fiscal year, actually. And then we're doing this today so that you're aware of what's going on, what you can expect this year, as well as so we're going to start setting the table to plan for future years. So we wanted to make sure that you're just aware of what's going on and all the things that are happening. You received in your packet an attachment that included the entire Neighborhood Services Department work plan, as well as the entire Public Works work plan. But we have pulled the excerpts from that just to kind of show some highlights. So with that, we'll get started. So for Parks, Recreation, and Open Spaces, our work plans for Neighborhood Services and Public Works, they address very similar efforts: project development and management, ongoing programs and efforts, and management of our resources. I'm going to review the neighborhood service elements, and then Mr. Thompson will review everything that's in the Public Works one. So in neighborhood services, in the planning, development, or in the construction phase this year, we have a lot going on. We'll be putting out to bid soon our splash pad and other improvements at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park that the commission has worked on for the last few years, as well as the community garden and improvements at Armitos Park. Both of those projects are at 100% construction documents. We're just waiting to hear back from the county on the splash pad. And once we have that, we're able to finalize those documents and get it before City Council for permission to bid. As well, the Matilda Park renovation project, we're currently at 85% construction drawings for that project, and we're hoping to get that out to bid very soon. We're going to be talking tonight about the playground at that location. The Stowe Grove Park master plan, our City Council will be receiving an update on where we are so far on that project, and after that we'll resume the project and move towards a master plan to present to City Council for adoption, as well as looking to which phases we are going to construct. The Evergreen Park master plan, will be releasing the request for proposals for that either closer to the end of this calendar year or the first part of next year. We're still working on the potential pickle court expansion that the commission supported last year during the CIP process, and we're just trying to get these other projects out to bid, and then we'll be working on that. And then when we did the playground project, we at Winchester 2, we replaced the playground and added the walkway. There's a phase two to that. We eliminated a curb that was on the south side of the park project, and we currently have our draft plans available. We'll be sharing them with the neighbors that will be impacted, and then we'll be moving forward on that project. And then we have the Goleta Community Center field landscape improvement. Once that field was completed, our first big rains took away a lot of our landscape materials, so we've been working to alter that landscape area, and we're very close to pulling the trigger on that one as well. Some of the programs for Parks and Recreation and Neighborhood Services include the butterfly education for the monarch butterfly season, which we'll be getting started on this month, actually. The Adopt a Park program, currently we have 7 parks and trails adopted. The pickleball program, the garden education for the upcoming community garden, volunteer management to include our docents, our Adopt a Park, our educators and instructors. For example, some of the instructors that helped us out during July as Parks and Recreation Month, they all volunteered their time. Our Parks and Recreation Commission, it takes a little bit of work to put these packets together and hold the meetings. We also facilitate the special events, the temporary events, and the pyrotechnic permit processes here in the city of Goleta. We conduct research on topics as well as grants. We do provide support for the park rental program, and we have our marketing and website updates. So the resources that we have in neighborhood services, we have our neighborhood services director and other department services highlighted here in white for you. The yellow represents what's happening in Parks and Recreation, which is myself, the Parks and Recreation Manager, the Department Management Assistant, who provides on an average 10 hours a week to Parks and Recreation, whether it's helping with billing, assisting with the commission, helping with some of those special event processes. That would be Ms. Ramirez, who's here again tonight. And then we also have a position that was approved in the last budget cycle that he started with us in January of this year. And that's Leonel Mendoza-Vera. And he's on his honeymoon right now, so mm-hmm. he couldn't be with us. But he supports Parks and Recreation Management with 20 hours a week. And then we have the Goleta Community Center. So the Goleta Community Center management, I just wanted to share a little bit about this, a little bit of history for our newest commissioners and for the members of the public. In February of this year, the City Council directed staff to assume the management of the Goleta Community Center effective January 1st of 2023. In May, when our work plan was presented to the City Council, the work plan for the Goleta Community Center was deferred until later this year. We're looking at coming back to Council in the fall of this year. We have recruitment underway for a recreation supervisor. We're hoping to have that person on board. This person will be the day-to-day manager for the community center, and we're trying to get this person on board to help facilitate with some of those transitional items. As well, there'll be a strategic planning process that will begin later this year, looking like the end of summer, the first part of the fall, and will last between 9 and 12 months. And our as the Goleta Community Center fits into our structure, again in yellow is myself, the Parks and Recreation Manager. There's the full-time recreation supervisor who will be on site at the community center day-to-day. And then we have a full-time administrative assistant to help with the bookings and the administrative tasks associated with the facility. And then we'll have a handful of part-time custodians who will be on site to represent the city in the evening and the weekend hours. And you also see two other blocks in white, and that is because we will also have a full-time maintenance worker one position at that facility. And that position is intended to be during the day, Monday through Friday, and that will report directly to our general services director. They will work on site and coordinate with the recreation supervisor, but the expertise and what's needed will be coming from general services, and so that's why it's laid out this way. And so that's all I have for neighborhood services. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Thompson.
Great, thank you. Somewhat following Ms. Plummer's model, we'll be going through current projects in planning development or anticipated to go to construction this current year. And then we'll follow up with an overview of just the day-to-day functions that our division provides our community. I believe at the last meeting, we went in depth on the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Program. And so since that meeting, we had a really successful outreach event, actually two events at Elwood, hosted kind of an open house and walking tour, updated the community on the plans, and then we're scheduling another outreach event in mid-September, finalizing the details, and those will come out as they're finalized. Once we get through that next round of community engagement and outreach, we'll be back at City Council with the project, essentially, that we're pushing forward to the Coastal Commission for permitting, and then anticipate that we'll go to construction in 2023. I'm really excited about that project. And then, of course, Lake Los Carneros, the commission also received an update on that at the last meeting. So we're currently finalizing the RFP, working with our project partners, including the Goleta Valley Historical Society, the custodians of the Stowe House, and the South Coast Railroad Museum. That'll be a publicly available request for proposals, and that will kick off essentially the process, which will be really heavy on community engagement and making sure that all the voices and interests are heard. We are also looking at another key effort, which is to update the Urban Forest Management Plan. And that's the document that really guides all of the management, maintenance, forward-looking actions for our community forests. So street trees, park trees. We have over 14,000 trees in our public inventory. The original document was adopted in 2011. And since then, there have been quite a few innovations in urban forest management, including addressing climate change, social inequity, using new technologies to maintain and manage our urban forest. A new plan that we included in our work plan this year is the Citywide Open Space Management and Maintenance Plan. I know that sounds a little bit generic, but if you'll bear with me, I'll just describe really why that's needed and what it is. We have over 515 acres of public park and open space lands. That's spread across dozens of individual parcels. A lot of those parcels have sensitive resources such as creeks, other types of wetlands, unique native habitats. Whenever we need to either go out and do maintenance on those areas, whether for fire control, reduce the threat of wildfire, replace hard infrastructure that are in those areas, such as drainage inlets, storm drains, built trails, signage, fencing. Typically, if it's in an ESHA, or environmentally sensitive habitat area, we need to apply for a separate permit each time we need to do work, and that's incredibly time-consuming, very inefficient. And then on the other side of the coin, if we want to be proactive about enhancing those habitats, such as hosting a large-scale restoration project, or even a small-scale one, doing preventative pruning if we see issues with some of the trees there that we value, again, we need to go through a separate permitting process. And so what we're envisioning is a programmatic, system-wide approach to that, where we outline broad actions that then would go through CEQA, get environmental review, get programmatic permits, do a large community engagement process, and on the outcome of that process, we would have the authority to move into those areas, do our work, identify goals for restoration, and so forth. So I hope you can appreciate the efficiencies that that'll afford the city in moving forward with managing those areas better. We also have a separate project at Elwood that we hope to finalize our engineering design and get that project constructed. And that's the Elwood Mesa Habitat and Trail Improvement Project. Key to that project are improving the two vertical accessways to our only city-owned beach, Elwood Beach. If you've been out there anytime in the last 10, 20 years, you know that those are fairly difficult to navigate. Even as an able-bodied person, particularly after storm events, they're pretty challenging. And then coupled with that are improvements to the trails and additional habitat restoration on Elwood Mesa proper. In just our ongoing work with Neighborhood Services Department, Ms. Plummer and I work closely together on a lot of the capital projects that she's in charge of, both in design review, but also looking at things like after the project is constructed, how do we maintain those projects? So we'll continue certainly working to that end. We do have in our division coordination with other public works divisions, so some large projects that our engineering division and public works department are moving forward do carry a significant level of off-site mitigation work. So that's where there's an identified impact to an environmental resource. The city is then required to offset that impact by planting native plants, and oftentimes we'll look to areas like Lake Los Carneros or Elwood Mesa, frankly, where we have the space to plant those plants, and so interact with our other city colleagues on those projects. And then we do have the City Council adopted Creek and Watershed Management Program. It's a all-encompassing document, and right now we're really focused on identifying some projects that we can move forward, and so we'll be bringing back to the commission identified projects in this calendar year that relate to either community-led planting efforts. Certainly our Beautify Goleta volunteer program is off the ground and really successful, so we want to build on that success. Okay, next slide, please. And then, of course, we can't forget that we provide daily services for all of our community in our parks and open spaces. This spans the gamut from cleaning our restrooms, cleaning our reservable picnic areas, mowing turf, pruning trees. That is a 24/7 job, and so don't want to lose sight of the importance of that. With that, we have the maintenance of the 500 acres. That's develop parks, open spaces, and our specific recreation amenities like sports facilities, basketball courts, tennis courts, beach volleyball, and the list goes on. I mentioned that we do have a significant level of regulatory permitting. We are in the coastal zone, so we do need to obtain permits for certain activities from the Coastal Commission. And then, of course, for protected wetlands, we need to go through other regulatory agencies like Army Corps of Engineers and California Department of Fish and Wildlife. That does take up a significant amount of staff time and also consultant costs. So we do hire experts to assist on certain activities such as wetland mapping, biological surveys, and so forth. Another big component of our work effort this year is looking for grants, applying for those, and then also managing the grants that we already have secured. And so we have a couple grants on the horizon that we are in the running for and anticipate that we will be successful. And so that will add both the work to deliver the grant product, but also the management and public outreach for those work efforts. I mentioned briefly our community wildfire prevention plan. So annually, if we do get rain several times a year, so more than annually, we go out and remove primarily annual grasses. So these are annual non-native grasses that grow during the wet season, dry out, and then become a fuel load, a fire hazard. And so our staff right now does most of that work. We're looking to expand that work because we are looking at a dry future and also formalizing that program. So more mapping, more reporting. And then we have emergency, non-emergency response for maintenance. So some examples recently, trees fall down in the roadway. We'll assist our Public Works Streets Division. We just had a tree come down, a large limb at Johnny Wallace Park yesterday. So those sorts of efforts, we need to essentially drop everything that our maintenance staff is doing and just redirect them to those efforts. And increasingly, we're seeing more of that happen. I'll talk a little bit more about those efforts in our staffing slide. We also run the Playground Safety Inspection and Maintenance Program. So monthly, we inspect all of our playgrounds throughout the city. Very detailed inspections, come up with the maintenance list, and then resolve any issues there. And then, of course, for the Parks and Rec Commission, Neighborhood Services provides the staff support, but certainly with the Parks and Rec, Parks and Open Space Division doing presentations, that is a continued work effort. We also have the Public Tree Advisory Commission, which oversees our urban forest. We are looking to increase the number of items coming to them. And then we also have tree removal requests from private citizens that the PTAC, the Public Tree Advisory Commission, oversees. And then just generally open space management and urban forest management. Okay, so for staffing, the Parks and Open Space Division is housed within the Public Works Division. Public Works Department, so I report directly to our Public Works Director, and we also have below me, we are hiring currently for an administrative assistant. This is a new approved position for the division, which is a welcome addition because we have a lot of administrative work, whether it's permit applications, the many invoices that we have to process every day for all the supplies that we purchase. Just running the ship, essentially. We were luckily blessed to have an environmental services specialist who most of you met at the last meeting, Jocelyn Fritz. And then we also have a new position that is authorized this year as the public works supervisor, specific to parks and open space. So this is a key position in that they're overseeing our frontline maintenance staff, directing their daily work, and also the numerous contractors that we hire to do specialized work, whether it's our daily maintenance of turf mowing, restroom cleaning, but also specialties such as plumbers, carpenters, electricians. We have all of those needs in our parks. So We below the public works supervisor, we have the maintenance worker two positions there, and then maintenance worker one, the entry level position, another two positions. Two of those positions are new positions, so we're doubling the number of frontline maintenance workers. And overall, you can see the growth in the division is significant this year. So a good portion of the next several months will be recruitment, interviews, hiring, and then a heavy emphasis on training. Not only the new staff, but the old staff as well, because we're adding new duties and reorganizing. So we're really excited about that effort.
So that is our work plans that were approved by City Council at the workshops held in May. In your packet that you received in the mail, the video links are live. So if you'd like to watch those, they are fantastic and enthusiastic and fabulous viewing. So please feel free, and we're available if you have any questions.
Thank you. I'd like to begin, however, Ms. Ramirez, to see if any members of the public would like to speak to B1, the presentation of the work plan.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on the presentation, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no hands raised.
Thank you so much. I'll open it up for questions from commissioners. Do any commissioners have any questions regarding the work plan? I do have just one question for Mrs. Plummer and one question, compound question for Mr. Thompson. Oh, very good, but we'll start first with Commissioner Jenkins.
George, you had mentioned that we have 14,000 trees. Are seedlings trees, or are they seedlings? What constitutes trees, and how did we come to that number?
Vice Chair Williams and Commissioner Jenkins, we actually don't have a definition for a tree in our municipal code or in our urban forest management plan. So the numbers that we're relying on come from a tree count that was performed in, I believe, starting in 2009 and ended in 2011. So that was an inventory of street trees and most of our developed park trees. So, for example, it does not include the thousands of trees that we have out at Elwood, nor does it define for an area like Elwood where we have saplings versus mature trees. So that 14,000 number, I'm confident that that includes trees as we commonly think of them. So not large shrubs, but, you know, a substantial trunk, canopy, not something that we could easily, you know, prune without some heavy equipment.
Thank you for that clarification. I was curious, like, how did we come up with this number and where are they located? My mind went off.
Any other commissioner? Did you have another question, Mr. Schenker?
I did. Is there, this is for our director, is there a work schedule that you put out that is for the calendar year that these activities are going to happen in January all the way through December, or are these just random?
Commissioner issues? Jenkins, I hear what you're saying. And when we presented to the City Council, we have some estimated timelines associated to the projects to say that these should be going into construction about this time. An example of how your entire calendar can be thrown off would be rain. Or issues in the field that were unanticipated. The playground project was anticipated to be done very quickly, and it didn't finish until a few months after that. So anything can change that, and it's a constant ebb and flow.
Okay.
But we are trying to keep our plates full and keep things moving forward, and so that's our goal. If there are specific projects that you're looking at, I'm welcome. I'm happy to answer those for you either tonight or at a later date. And related to the day-to-day activities, Every Monday we come in with an anticipation of what we're going to do, and our day just does not go that way. I don't know if anyone else ever has that experience, but we do have a list of regular daily activities, as well as George mentioned, putting out some of those fires and things that happen, whether they're physically they happen or a customer comes in with a concern or something like that. Okay. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
It clarifies what I was thinking about.
Thank you.
Thank you. My question for Mrs. Plummer is, can you remind the commissioners and the public a little bit more about what the Monarch Butterfly Education Program consists of and whether you see any changes from the past in this fiscal year?
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. Yes, so the Monarch Education Program that we've historically provided has been out at the Elwood Grove. And when the grove was shut down, when the trees were identified as a hazard in the early days, we were not encouraging people to go out there. So we provided an alternate program called the Monarch Overwintering Visual Experience Simulation that was held at Evergreen Park. And this year, we're just dipping our toes into things. We're checking out conditions, and Mr. Thompson, myself, and Lionel will be meeting later this month to decide what that will really look like this year come October. So I'm hoping to report to you what our program is, how people can get involved, and how people can participate, whether as a volunteer or a spectator. So we want to be able to encourage people to go out to the Grove, but we want to make sure that it's safe to do so. So we'll be looking and pivoting and shifting as needed. Does that answer your question?
It does, thank you. And we'll I'll look forward to, and perhaps other commissioners, to an update as we proceed. Thank you. My question for you, Mr. Thompson, is compound. The first, to the extent you have Venn diagrams or not, what is the difference or intersection between the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Management Plan and the Elwood Mesa Habitat and Trail Improvement Plan? I'll start with that one.
That's a great question, Vice Chair Williams and commissioners. So essentially, they're separate. So the City Council adopted in 2019 the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Habitat Management Plan, which you can simply think of, this is a little bit of an oversimplification, but simply think of the areas that are forested. That's what the plan essentially deals with, is the monarch butterfly habitat. The other project that's mentioned here, the Elwood Mesa Trails and Habitat Restoration Plan, deals with the Mesa proper, the vertical access points to the beach, and the trail system that runs essentially from the public parking lot across from Elwood Elementary out to the bluff. Includes several miles of trails. And then I believe about 12 acres of identified habitat restoration, primarily coastal sage scrub and grassland habitat. So that's the difference between them. They are different habitat types, required separate CEQA processes, and so we're looking to move forward the Elwood Trails project.
Very exciting. I think the public will be excited to not only find out tonight, perhaps for the first time, about some of the access questions to the beach and some of the other things that are being proposed, but to look forward to being engaged in the development of this.
I should add one important detail, which is that project has gone through a significant public process. So I believe it was about an eight-year process of community meetings, engagement, and permitting. So we're now at the point where we can finalize the construction documents, and we've applied for a $208,000 grant from the Refugio oil spill settlement to see those construction plans through.
Oh, excellent. Very good. Thank you. Look forward perhaps to a more specific update on that when you're ready with respect to the Habitat and Trail Improvement Plan. Thank you. All right. Well, this was a presentation only, so no vote is necessary, which means we can move forward to items in the C category, discussion items. And we'll begin with C1. Proposed playground replacement option at Matilda Park. And Mrs. Plummer, we're looking forward to your report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. Tonight we're asking the commission to consider two playground designs as options for replacement consideration and select one to be included in our construction documents. The report that you have before you has some background information about this project, that in early 2020, staff had identified a drainage issue at Matilda Park. When it rains, the water just does not drain as it was intended, and the result is trapped water that is breaking down the surfacing material, creating unhealthy and unsafe conditions with mildew, stagnant water, weeds, and potentially breaking down the support posts and the play structure. Staff has taken city staff, city engineers, the playground contractor that had installed it, another playground vendor out there to try to figure out the best approach. And until we're able to pull that surfacing material back and dive into it, we really don't know what's happening to the playground structure. So what we have done is we have, in the construction documents, have laid out a plan to one of the options will be to restore the existing playground. And then we wanted to include a playground option for potential replacement for council consideration. And it will go out to bid as a bid alternate. And then when the pricing comes back in, council will decide at that point if they want to move forward with a new playground or just move forward with the refurbishing. And then if refurbishing is not an option once we get into the project, we'll come back to council. But that means we've already bid the playground replacement, and so we can move forward with the project and keep the project moving rather than start at the bidding process. So there are two different options before you tonight. There is, and I'm sorry, I didn't even think to put pictures up on the screen for everybody, but we do have option A, which has features, play elements for spinning, sliding, climbing, brachiating, which is basically like monkey bars, arm over arm action, fitness, a climbing wall and rock, an area for an imaginative play. The structure features three different options to access the slides, including the rock climbing wall, an angled rock, and steps. There is one spinning feature, one element to encourage brachiating, one spiral slide, one imaginary play feature. Users can also take advantage of the shade structure, the chin-up bar, and the upper body activity bars associated to the spinner. Option B features play elements for sliding, climbing, brachiating, balance, inclusionary play, and social space. This structure features four different options for climbing, from easy access to challenging. There are three inclusionary play panels, a social station, and two creative play options, as well as three cascading slides with a shade structure. The structure also includes three different features that provide challenges for users to strengthen their core and practice their balance. This is a larger playground than option A with more features, as you can tell by the pictures in your attachments. I also wanted to mention that during the budget process, the current cost estimates we've received includes the cost estimate for the more expensive playground. And so we are currently fully funded for this project based on current cost estimates. So tonight we're asking the commission to decide between option A or option B. We are restricted by the space, so that's why there's only two options available tonight for consideration. And the reason for that is we're trying to do the improvements that we need to do in the most cost-effective manner. We have to replace the majority of the walkway because it's not meeting current ADA standards. It did meet the standards when the park was built, but the standards have increased, so we have to adjust a large portion of that walkway. We're trying not to impact the current picnic area or the back part of the park, and really addressing the front end of the park plus the playground area. The design that you saw a few meetings ago also had displayed some expansion of some grass area so people can sit and have a picnic on the grass. Right now, a large majority of the grass is sloped. So in that sloped area, we'll be putting drought-tolerant materials to help with our irrigation. We'll be upgrading and improving our irrigation to meet some current standards and to reduce our water use. And then we'll also, that outline of grass area is also designed in a way to maximize maintenance opportunities and to lessen the time that the Parks Division and the Parks contractor has to spend at the park doing maintenance. So before you is option A, and you have option B. And then I also include in your packet on attachment 3 a copy of the existing playground so you see what the users currently have before them. And I'm available if you have any questions, and happy to help.
Thank you so much. And we'll begin, Ms. Ramirez, if you could see if there is any member of the public who would like to speak to item C1?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no hands raised.
All right. Well, I see that several commissioners have questions for Ms. Plummer and Mrs. Plummer and or comments. We'll begin with you, Commissioner Jenkins.
Just as a point of clarification, option A and option B, these play apparatuses are geared toward ages 5 through 12. Is that correct?
Correct. Thank you, Commissioner Jenkins. All of the play features, including the existing play structure, is designed for ages 5 to 12. So we are looking at a remove and replace with the same age group, and if we are to actually replace that playground.
And for option A, is there any way that a canopy can fit over those apparatuses?
There is currently a canopy over the slide structure. It's dark blue, it looks like, so it's kind of hard to see.
Yes, there
is a canopy over the slide structure.
Pretty modest.
I can check to see if that's a desire of the commission, if there was to be a canopy over the platform by the rock wall. I can check on that too. I will share with the commissioners, you can see canopies are very high up over the play structure because there is a requirement for height above anywhere a child could climb. So that's why you see a lot of the canopies a lot higher, and you think, why are they up so high? They're not providing any shade, but that's the reason, because we know children will be children and they're climbing over everything. So, but if there's an option or a request to add a secondary canopy, if that's possible, I can definitely go back to our vendor on that one. We would just want to make that in that motion, if that's the choice.
Thank you very much.
And the other thing is, has there been any feedback from people in the area about what play apparatuses that they would prefer or that they have requested in the past?
Because the structure, from my understanding, the structure that's there now was supported with public input from that neighborhood. And we're looking at a remove and replace type of structure. We're hoping that in construction, we may not have to replace the playground if it's in good condition and we can save the money, and we're gonna get, you know, at least the life of the new surfacing out of that next playground that will be evaluated once we get into construction, then we're not going to replace the playground. So we did not reach out to the public just in case we're not replacing that playground. Okay. This is an option to allow us to expedite the process if we have to move to replacement.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Walton.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate you defining brachiating for me, arm over arm. And I'm just excited if you could just share with us what is the difference or the definition for imaginative play, inclusionary play, and social space.
I will do my very best. So imaginative play, if you can see in option two, there are some play panels there, and they're designed for kids to interact and be imaginative. And then there is right below the very first panel, you'll see in option two, and I believe option A has that as well. There's a little, it's like a storefront. And so that's another opportunity for people to have an imaginative play, and they can do it with someone else as if they're operating a store or someone's coming to their home. So again, that goes to imaginative play as well as social space. And then there's also another little bench, and I think it's underneath, and we have it in, I know it in the large one. I can't quite see them on this diagram, but it's there are some times that children want to be involved in a playground. They want to be playing, but they just don't want to be around a lot of people, but they want to be in the middle of everything, but they just don't want to be around the people. So we have provided a bench underneath the structure so that kids that feel like they need to be alone can be alone, still be safe, and be with everybody else without having to engage if that's what their needs are. I hope that helps.
Any further questions, Commissioner Walton?
No.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Furia.
I'm wondering, as we're evaluating these different options, is there are there sort of priority levels in terms of what we're evaluating for? Is budget top priority? Play features, replication of the existing structure? Like, do we have particular considerations that are more or less important as we're thinking through our final decision?
Thank you, Commissioner Furia. Great question, and I wanted to share with you that currently the project was fully funded at the higher price. I always like to see when I look at a playground what we can do and see how many elements we can hit so that we can be inclusive of all kids, whether their abilities or whether it be socially or physically. So that's why I wanted to share with you what's existing. What's existing is a great playground. It has a lot of great opportunities. And so, again, we're restricted with the space, but you can see that there's climbing, there's brachiating, there's twisting slides, there's the rock climbing wall. There is a slider, I believe, there, like a people mover there so that they glide as well. So trying to do like for like with trying to also provide maybe something a little bit more or a little bit different. So there's really no specific criteria, which is why we're bringing it to the commission, as well giving the public the opportunity to be able to weigh in if there were some concerns. Again, these are staying within the existing space and the existing footprint, but these are some of the things that that we weigh out. When the playground vendor came back, the first option was what you see as option B, and I said, it's beautiful, but I need another option that's a little less expensive just so we can do our due diligence. And there was a few different options for the less expensive, and this option before you tonight is the option that had more features in that less expensive round. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Any other commissioner questions?
Yeah.
Very good, I see your hand up. Thank you, Commissioner Dent.
Thank you. I was wondering, Mrs. Plummer, do we have any data on the usage levels for this playground?
Commissioner Dent, that is a fantastic question, as always. No, we do not have any data usage. Unfortunately, we don't have a way to monitor our day-to-day park use, except by maybe how many bags of trash we can take out of it, or how many people are there when we show up to mow. But this is in an area of condensed housing. It is near Elwood Mesa, but it's off of Matilda, which is off of entrance, off of Hollister. Entrance drive. So it is in an area that has a lot of apartments. So there is a lot of families in that area, and this does fall in our low income tract. So there is a lot of families in a very small space, which is, again, one of the reasons that we wanted to present the commission options that had a lot of different play features to try to meet the needs of the majority of the kids.
Any other questions, Commissioner Dunn?
Yes. Thank you. I was also wondering, if option A is chosen, what will happen to the like additional funding that was secured to fund option B?
Thank you, Commissioner Dent. The funding, as I mentioned, currently we're fully funded based on cost estimates. We won't know the full cost of the project until we go out to solicit competitive bids. So once those bids come in, if option A was the choice and that was the reason we saved some money, then that money would likely go to the project for contingency. We'd hold on to it for the what ifs and the we really don't want to happen type of items and see what happens. But otherwise, those funds would be returned to the city. This project is funded by three different fundings sources. One is a grant from the state of California, Proposition 68 per capita allocation. One is the community development block grant funds. And then the third is the city council's general fund.
Any other questions, Commissioner Dent?
No, thank you, Mrs. Plummer.
Thank you. I have a few questions, and I was going to ask Commissioner Dent's last question, but I still am a little unclear, so I'm just going to ask a follow-up question to that. And that is, if we don't need any of this extra money because the existing structure can be used, and or if we choose an option that is less expensive, can we use that money for other parks and other recreation opportunities beyond Matilda Park?
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. In each of these funding sources, the CDBG has been a grant awarded to us for this project. The state project has been a grant awarded. It had to be approved at the state level. This project had to be approved. And then what we were not funded was backfilled with general fund dollars. So if we do not use all the CDBG funds, which we do anticipate we would, those would go back to the CDBG fund, and council would have the authority to reallocate those to another project that meets the criteria for community development block grants. The state, if we do not use it, we lose it. So we definitely want to use all the state funds. And this project, again, had to go through an application process and be approved at the state of California to do this project. So this project, we will spend all those funds. And then any residual funds in the general fund would go back to the city's general fund. It would not be specified for park-related projects. So it would just go back to the general fund to be used at the council's discrepancy.
Or discretion.
Right. Thanks. Yes. Thank you.
Very good. That's most helpful. And one small to that, the state fund component of this, which is use or lose, what percentage of the total does that represent, more or less?
I believe it's $178,000, okay. Which is a little over a third of the project cost.
Okay. Good. And you believe that, let's say we can use the existing structure, and then full disclosure, my husband and I did go out and look at the existing playground, the existing structure. It is very nice structure. Obviously, one that was carefully designed, that received community input, and if it can be saved, hooray, right? But, of course, we did notice, obviously, as you pointed out, that the mat is a mess. And there's all kinds of landscaping and other needs and access and so forth. So if the structure can be saved, you're suggesting you could use the $178,000 pretty easily for the mat and the access and landscaping and so forth. Is that what I'm hearing? That we wouldn't need a new structure to use that $178,000?
Vice Chair Williams, one thing I do want to point out to you is that the playground, existing playground, once we pull out and we get into construction, we will have a cost to refurbish that playground.
Yes. Yep.
So that will be another bid item in the project, to refurbish that playground.
Very good.
There, we did get some rough preliminary costs when we first started looking at this, and they're almost the cost of a new playground, which is why we wanted to bring this item up and why staff is recommending, if we were asked, would be to replace the playground, because then we know we have everything brand new and we're not mixing new with old. But if it is less expensive to refurbish the existing playground, because as you mentioned, it is a great playground, and we would want to do that, and how the money is spent is going to be on the criteria of the grant, whether it's CDBG and the park monies. So the only monies that potentially could be saved, if any at all, would be general fund dollars. The other funds would need to be expended on this project.
Very good. That's very helpful. All right. And that is interesting that the cost of refurbishing could be as much as a new playground, because it seemed in quite good shape, but we'll see what the bids are. And it's very helpful to know that that will be one of the components, is a refurbishment bid. Very good. Thank you so much. All right. Any other commissioner questions after the responses we've gotten? Yes.
So I can make.
Would you please? I was just going to say I'll entertain a motion.
Commissioner Jenkins, we'll need you to put your microphone on.
Yes, Commissioner Jenkins. If you would please make a motion at this time.
I move that the commission accept option B.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Yes, Commissioner Walton.
I second on option B.
Yes. All right. It's been moved and seconded that the commission recommend to the City Council option B be selected. And if that is of the two options, that option two be the one put forward. And of course, we also have the factor of the refurbishing and so forth. All right. Discussion on the motion to recommend to the commission that option B is the preferred replacement option. Yes, Commissioner Walton.
Yeah, I just want to thank Mrs. Plummer and Mr. Thompson for your due diligence on this. It is sad that the cost of replacing it is, or the cost of repair is almost as great as replacing it, but I can definitely see that in a lot of instances, sadly, that is the way it is these days. So thank you just so much for doing the due diligence, finding two amazing options. I'm really excited about option B. Three slides, of course, is better than one. So just thank you so much for doing the legwork for us.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I did have a question. If we move forward with option B and the existing facility, the existing playground needs to be taken away. Is there a resale value on the existing playground facility, or do you just trash it? What occurs?
Commissioner Jenkins, great question. I don't have an exact answer for you, but I can share with you that reselling some other manufacturer's equipment by the city would pose a liability concern. But as far as recycling and looking at maybe scrap metal, I can definitely look into that and see what our options are in that regards. But it was a great question. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good question. And I know that Commissioner Furia also wants to say something, but as an advocate of, reuse, recycle, et cetera, I think certainly several commissioners would very much like an analysis of the reuse consideration if we have to replace. All right, Commissioner Furia.
I also want to thank Ms. Plummer, for all of the great work here. I really appreciate that there was so much thought and put into the equity and inclusion factors for children in the community. It's very clear that there are lots of different ability levels and play types in both structures, the lesser and the greater one. I am particularly excited about option B. There's just so much going on, and I can imagine so many children really enjoying the structure from all different experience levels and things. So thank you so much for the great work. I'm really excited about that structure.
Excellent. Any other questions? All right. If not, then it has been moved and seconded that the commission recommends and selects option B to be included in the construction documents for the Matilda Playground refurbishment. Ms. Ramirez, if you would please take a roll call.
Commissioner Furia?
Approved.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Approved.
Commissioner Walton?
Approved.
Commissioner Dent?
Approved.
And Vice Chair Williams?
Approved.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. All right. This brings us to item C2, October Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, date change consideration. Mrs. Plummer?
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. Tonight we're asking that the commission consider canceling our October 5th, 2022 Parks and Recreation Commission regular meeting and replacing it with a special meeting to be held on October 12th at 6 p.m. The reason for this, this request for your consideration is as we look at the calendar, we notice the approved date of Wednesday, October 5th does conflict with Yom Kippur, which is a prominent Jewish holiday. And although this is not a City of Goleta recognized holiday, there is a population of our community that would have a conflict and be unable to participate in the meeting. So in order to maximize participation in our meeting, staff is asking the commission to consider an alternate date. And it's your choice. We can stay with our regularly scheduled meeting that you voted on last year, or we can consider a special meeting. So I am available if you have any questions. Let me know.
Thank you. Ms. Ramirez, is there any member of the public who would like to speak to this item?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on item C2, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no hands raised.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions? Yes, Commissioner Walton.
I think it's great, and yes, we should reschedule. I'm just surprised that we were not aware of that when we were planning, and I just want to ask if moving forward, are we going to be aware of different Muslim or Hebrew holidays, and we'll do a better job of not having to reschedule?
Thank you, Commissioner Walton. Yes, that is our goal. We do have our next item is actually talking about future dates, and we've done some research on our behalf. We're not experts in all areas, so we do rely heavily if anyone has any other potential conflicts. That's what we're here to talk about. But yes, and we are working as a city to be able to look at that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Jenkins.
Again, as a point of clarification, has any of the existing commissioners given feedback as to the proposed new date? Their calendar is in conflict with the October 12th date.
Commissioner Jenkins, for clarification, are you asking if the any of the absent commissioners have said that it would be a conflict?
Yes, from anyone, from any commissioner has gotten back to you Brittany saying that my calendar is full for October 12th or committed for October 12th.
So originally we had looked at two different dates, but I was able to verify with Chair West that one of those dates was a conflict for her. But currently October 12th was not a conflict.
Okay.
But I did not hear from Commissioner Revogel-Purinton, and we're here tonight to see if anybody does have a conflict.
I, for one, don't.
Good, very good. All right, I will entertain a motion. Commissioner Jenkins?
I move that we change our meeting date for the Parks and Recreation Commission from October 5th to October 12th.
Thank you very much. Is there a second to the motion? Yes, Commissioner Furia.
I second the motion.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that we cancel the October 5th Parks and Recreation Commission meeting and replace it with a special meeting to be held on October 12th at 6 p.m. Any further discussion? All right. Ms. Ramirez, if you would please take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Furia.
Approved.
Commissioner Jenkins.
Approved.
Commissioner Walton.
Approved.
Commissioner Dent.
Approved.
And Vice Chair Williams.
Approved.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. All right, that moves us to item C3, the last discussion item for tonight's agenda, and that is selection of meeting dates for 2023 calendar year. Ms. Plummer?
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. So tonight before you, we have a few options for the selection of the 2023 dates. Historically, when the commission first started, they would meet a couple times a year, and it was inconsistent, maybe once a quarter, but when there was enough business to be had, and they would have a meeting. And then as we started getting into doing a lot of work, we realized that we needed 6 meetings a year that we would hold, and we started to do those very consistently about 5 years ago, doing it every first Wednesday of the even-numbered months. Made it easy to remember for our public as well as our commissioners. So as we look at the options before you tonight, I wanted to point out that there was an error in the staff report. The days are still correct. It was the actual dates were incorrect. We're looking at so many different calendars. I do apologize for that. You have an updated copy for you that has the new dates in red. The copy of the staff report has been updated online as well. Again, it doesn't change the day of the week. It just changed the actual dates that would happen. So option one would be having our meetings on the first Wednesday of the even months, as we've done them for the last 5 years. And the dates that were affected were the June, August, October, and December meetings. Those now would be June 7th, August 2nd, October 4th, and December 6th. Looking at the calendars, there's two potential conflicts. April 5th, there's a conflict with Passover. And we do understand that the length of Passover would extend where there is a population that may not be available on April 12th, and that would be anybody that was devout in the faith may not want to participate. But for the general population, April 12th would be considered acceptable from what I've been told. As well, we look at Fiesta, and although Fiesta does not happen in the city of Goleta, we know that a lot of our Goleta residents are involved, and again, looking to maximize our participation, we would consider an alternate date of August 9th. So option B would be still sticking with the first Wednesday of the even-numbered months, with the exception of those two dates in April and in August. I did check the graduation schedule for the high schools, and we are good. So that does not conflict with the graduation for the June date. And then option three is actually throwing our first Wednesday of the even number months out the door and looking at the second Wednesday of the odd number months. Again, staff was trying to come back to the commission with some consistency for the members of the commission to make it easy to plan your lives, as well as the members of our public, so they know when to tune into our meetings. So those dates are listed below for you as well in option three. We did look, the reason we settled on the second Wednesday was that enabled us to avoid any potential holidays. You might receive your packet very, very early because there will be holidays in there. But those are the three options that we have. And because of the error in the staff report, again, my apologies. If you're not prepared tonight to make a decision, we can look at this at the next meeting. And there was no feedback from Commissioner Replicable Purinton, nor was there feedback from Chair West. So it would be up to the commission this evening, the members present, to make a determination.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ramirez, if you could please check with the public to see if there are any comments on this item.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on item C3, please use the raised hand icon. And there are no hands raised.
Thank you so much. I will take questions and comments from commission members. Any commission members have any questions or comments? If none, I will. Yes.
I just want to put it out there that I'm retired, so my calendar is totally open.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much, Commissioner Jenkins. Any other commissioners? All right. I will entertain. Okay. I'll entertain a motion at this time. And Commissioner Jenkins?
Does staff have a preference between option one, two, or three?
Commissioner Jenkins, staff has no preference. We just wanted to provide you these options of what we've done historically for the members of our public, and then some historic with some adjustments to accommodate some potential conflicts to our community members, and then a third option. And trust me, Ms. Ramirez and I went through calendars trying to piece things around and move things around and searching the website for any potential conflicts, and this is kind of where we settled. So we do not have an option. It's at the pleasure of the commission.
If I may then, in the absence of any other commissioner jumping in, I will say that I would move to adopt option three. Is there a second to that motion?
Second. That's what I was going to just do. Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Jenkins. I appreciate that. Discussion on the motion. I'll just say, I think it's one, there are many attributes to option three. I think they're the fewest conflicts. And also, it avoids a December meeting, and December meetings always seem a little tricky. People have so much to do, and it starts the new year off with a bang, right? with the January meeting, which I think is also nice because otherwise it seems like a gap. And we shake it up a little bit, have it on even numbered months and see how that flies. Any other questions or comments? All right. Oh, yes, very good. Thank you, Commissioner Furia.
Sorry, I realize this question after the motion, and it won't actually impact my response to the motion, but I'm just curious about, as a new commissioner, if there's not anything on the agenda, do we cancel meetings? Or is there a certain amount of information or process that needs to be available to have a meeting? I was just wondering how that works. Sorry.
That's a great question, Commissioner Furia. We're required by our ordinance to have 6 meetings, and the chair can call special meetings if the need arises, which this year we've had 2 of those. So sometimes it's there. As you may have noticed, if you've looked at some of our past meetings, our agendas have been pretty heavy. So we have a lot going on, and we have not had the need in recent years to cancel a meeting due to lack of business items. There's always something to talk about, and it's our hope to keep our meetings between 1 hour and 2 hours so that we can keep the public tuned in, and then we try to keep those agendas as tight and as short as possible for you. So we're not short of or shy of business items, but if we were, then it would be up to the chair to make that determination.
Terrific. Thank you so much for the clarification.
And thank you, Commissioner Furia. And yes, we've had 2, maybe 3 years of very long meetings and extra meetings. And I think looking at the work plans of that both Mrs. Plummer and Mr. Thompson presented, we're going to be quite busy for the next couple of years, without question. So, but thank you for asking. Yes, Commissioner Jenkins.
Commissioner Dent had her hand
yes.
up, and I didn't know if you caught that. Or
I did, but
okay,
if
great.
You go ahead first.
No.
You're just pointing that out. Oh, yes. Commissioner Dent, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. I just have a question about procedure. This is my final meeting, unfortunately. I am taking a gap year, so I just can't commit to being on the commission again right now. But I wanted to ask how I abstain in a roll call vote. Do I just say abstain? Sorry, I've never done that before.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioner,
thank you.
Yes, you would just abstain if you choose not to vote. You're still an active member of the commission, so you can choose to vote as well if you want to. It's your choice.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And it would be fine for you to vote, of course, because you might join us as a public member in the future. We hope so. And or just from your experience of being on the commission, how you feel about this option versus the other. So we would appreciate you voting if you feel like it. Thank you. All right. Any other comments from commissioners? All right. The motion is to approve option 3 for our meeting schedule for calendar year 2023. Ms. Ramirez, if you would please take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Furia?
Approve.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Approve.
Commissioner Walton?
Approve.
Commissioner Dent?
Abstain.
And Vice Chair Williams?
Approve.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much. Which brings us in record time to commissioner comments. And just to remind the commission and the public, this is an opportunity for commissioners to make comments about anything you'd like to make comments about. But just to remember that staff cannot respond to the comments or questions because these comments have not been agendized. Are there any commission comments at this time? Yes, Commissioner Jenkins.
I would like the vice chair, and our director to look at next year moving forward, that we consider a workshop in parliamentary procedure. I'd like that to be agendized, at least that you talk through it, and these are the pros and cons of doing it and when. I would like to see a report about the fire station. We've talked about that in the past, and it just seems that it's faded away, and I'd like to resurrect that issue to see if there's any updates for the fire station? It looked like it was going to be approved and move forward, and construction was within sight, and haven't heard anything about that. There were two other items, and I put them on my iPod, and it just faded away. So
I will let you come back if you have an additional comment.
Okay, thank you.
After we've heard from the other commissioners. Commissioner Walton.
Yes, I just wanted to thank everyone for the month of July, the calendar and the activities. They were absolutely wonderful. I was able to, when I was planning my calendar, my personal calendar, I made sure that I had an activity every week, and it was really exciting. Life did interfere 1 week, so I did miss out on some fun, but I attended the Monarch exhibit at Elwood with you. I got to pickleball twice. Unfortunately, I missed out on handball. But I really just appreciate, and I hope our community was able to get out and enjoy as well. I met some new neighbors, and it was a wonderful event.
Thank you.
A great month.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Walton. And I was also going to congratulate staff on the July Parks and Recreation Month. It was a great success. Best one yet. Thank you very much. Commissioner Jenkins.
The other item, we talked in the past about an increase stipend for this commission. And again, it was an issue that we brought up, and it just kind of evaporated. And I would like an update on that.
Very good. Thank you very much. Really appreciate those comments. I have some comments, but before I make my comments, any other commission comments? All right. In addition to the... Oh, yes, please, Commissioner Walton.
I just realized one more question. Oh, and Commissioner Dent after me. This will be, I guess I'm wrapping up my first year on the commission, and I'm excited about serving out the remainder of my term. And I wanted to ask, is there some sort of procedure to coach, mentor future chairman for the position? And maybe that ties in with your parliamentary training that we'll be taking. Mm-hmm. We can kind of start about, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so we can, like, maybe plan for a change.
Right.
Succession, yes.
Right, right. I'm not offended by you bringing that up at this time.
No offense. We know that you can't stay forever. And you deserve a break, too. But even just to share the load, like perhaps you want to, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And as a junior member, I'd love to learn more.
That's
so
wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you for that.
No, that's very, very good. And often the chair and vice chair, you know, going from vice chair to chair is often a normal sequence. But I think the training issues are ones that the city council has brought up, have been discussed, but we need to make sure they're agendized, as you point out. So very good. Okay. Commissioner Dent.
I just wanted to say thank you to the staff and all of the commissioners. I've learned an incredible amount this year, and I'm just really grateful to have had this opportunity to serve on the commission. And thank you to the public as well and the city council for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Dent. And I have three comments. I would like to channel a commissioner who's not with us tonight, but also that would underscore what Commissioner Walton said. And I know that Commissioner West was incredibly enthusiastic about the Elwood Mesa public walks that you did, Mr. Thompson. And she was looking forward to mentioning that at tonight's meeting and commending you and your staff for that wonderful public event. I want to also, on behalf of the commission and staff, thank you, Commissioner Dent, for your service. And it's best not to be comparative, but if one were, one would have to say, Commissioner Dent, that you were, you know, a 10 for a student commissioner. And the amount of attention, thoughtfulness, respectfulness, insight that you brought to the commission as a student member, as any member, was incredibly commendable, something that I and I know others look forward to your comments, And your future, needless to say, is very bright. And we hope that part of it will include being involved with Parks and Recreation going forward. But really, you've set a new standard and bar for student commissioner engagement. And we can't thank you enough that you were always prepared, had always done the reading, and always asked thoughtful questions and made thoughtful comments. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then, as always, I would like to thank staff, all of you, for your incredibly hard work and the progress that we are making as a community. Thank you so much. Is there anything else? Yes. Oh, ditto, yes, very good. Ditto's good. All right, if nothing else, then I will adjourn this meeting at this time, and we'll see you all in 2 months. Thank you so much, commissioners, and thank you, staff.
Thank you. Are we off there?